Chapter 8. Winsome. Winsome is preparing a meal for her family, who are visiting her in Barbados for the summer. Winsome likes having her family around, and their friends. Shirley has invited Amma to visit twice now, which Winsome has enjoyed. She has always liked Amma. When Amma first came out as a lesbian, as a teenager, Winsome had worried that she would have a hard life. Then she began to worry that Shirley, as her friend, would become a lesbian and have a hard life too. But Winsome had been wrong about that. Amma had not had a hard life, and Shirley had not become a lesbian. Winsome looks at Shirley, who is sitting with a glass of wine, staring at the sea like it is the most beautiful thing she has ever seen. Shirley always behaves like a tourist when she visits, only wears white and does not help around the house. Winsome does not say anything to her because she does not want her daughter to complain. Shirley likes to complain. When she tells Winsome about her terrible job in that terrible school, Winsome tells her to leave it, but Shirley does not like that. "I don't want suggestions, Mum," Shirley will say. "I just need you to listen." Shirley likes to complain, and she is never happy with what she has. She does not seem to understand that she has excellent health, a well-paying job, a handsome husband, lovely daughters and a granddaughter, a good house and car, no debts, and a free holiday in Barbados every year. "Tough life, Shirl," Winsome thinks, especially compared to her own working life, spent on the open roof of a red London bus. She had no protection from the rain or snow and had to climb the stairs a million times a day with a heavy ticket machine hanging from her neck. She had to deal with customers who called her rude names when she would not let them ride the bus for free. Winsome does not complain. She is a grateful person. She is grateful that she had Barbados to return home to instead of staying in England and worrying about the cost of heating in the winter, like her English friends do. She is grateful that she and her husband, Clovis, were able to sell their house in London to buy one on the beach in Barbados. She is grateful that she and Clovis will not have to worry about money for the rest of their lives. Winsome looks out onto the beach to see Lennox and Clovis working together to try and fix Clovis's fishing boat. They are both wearing knee-length shorts and t-shirts. Both have strong legs and wide backs and are a similar height and shape these days. Winsome still wants him. Lennox, not Clovis. She tells Shirley she is lucky to have such a handsome husband. "He's lucky to have me as his wife," Shirley replies. Typical Shirl. Rachel comes into the kitchen with Madison, Winsome's great-granddaughter. "Tell me about how you and Grandad met," Rachel asks. "I want to know your stories to tell Madison when she's older, Nana. I want to know what it was like when you were younger and first came to England." Winsome has listened to her grandchildren's lives since they could speak, and they have never asked about her. Winsome likes the fact that Rachel is interested enough to want to know who her grandmother was before she became a mother, and so she tells her. "I met your grandfather soon after I arrived in England in the 1950s, Rachel. We met at a West Indian meet-up at a pub in London. He had already been in England for 2 years. Our fathers had been fishermen in the same village, but we did not meet each other until I came to England. 'It's hard here, girl,' he told me. 'It's hard.' We dated over the winter while I got used to the cold weather and the culture in England. I did not think he was very handsome, but I was grateful for his support in this new country. We married and moved into a small room in a house full of other people. We started to save for a house together. Then Clovis went and had a stupid idea to use our savings and move to the southwest of England. He had heard that it was warmer and easier to find work there as a fisherman. I did not want to be a fisherman's wife, but what could I say to Clovis? A woman had to obey her husband in those days, Rachel. We took the train to Plymouth, where he looked for jobs along the harbour. He thought that he would get a job easily, but the people in Plymouth were poor. Why should they give work to a stranger, especially one who looked like him? I tried to persuade Clovis to return to London, but he would not listen. He said that he wanted to go to the small islands of the Scilly Isles, further south. It's warmer there, he said. There must be lots of work for fishermen. Oh, well, I said. The Scilly Isles is a pretty name. Maybe it's a pretty place. We took buses and trains along the coast, and when we missed those, we walked. We slept in train stations when nobody would let us sleep in their inns. When we arrived, the people there were very unkind. Everyone stared at us when we walked down the street. I grabbed Clovis's arm and could feel him shaking. You can't work here, they said, when Clovis asked them for work. You can't eat here, they said, when we entered a little cafe. You can't drink here, they said, when we entered a pub. You can't sleep here because your collar will come off on the sheets, said a woman when we asked if we could stay the night. The only thing you can do is leave and never come back, said the policeman when we went to complain. I wanted to go back to London, but Clovis wanted to give Plymouth one more chance. So we went back to Plymouth, and Clovis did get work carrying heavy items from the ships to the warehouses and from the warehouses to the trucks. While Clovis worked, I stayed at home all day and all evening with our three children. People in Plymouth were not nice to us. They would shout insults at me when we passed in the street, and I was always served last in any shop I went into, even if I was first in the line. Once, I found a dead rat in our doorway. Another time, someone painted "Go Home" on our front door. I did meet some kind people in Plymouth, like Mrs. Beresford, who gave the boys sweets and cakes. She introduced me to Mrs. Wright and Mrs. Missingham from the local church. They took a child each protectively by the hand and walked us into the church. When the children started school, they would come home crying because the other children had called them cruel names and the teachers had punished them for things they did not do. It got so bad that one day I turned to Clovis and said, "You can stay here, but the mother of your children is returning to London with them." Winsome stops talking as she watches the men walk up the beach under the hot sun. Rachel thanks Winsome for sharing her story. "Nana, you were a trailblazer." "We were just two people who went far in, Rachel. Nothing trailblazing about that," says Winsome. "Well, I think you're amazing. Now I'm going to sit with Mum. Back home, I worry about her a lot. She gets so stressed from her job." "Don't you worry about our Shirl," Winsome tells her. She enjoys having something to complain about. Rachel leaves, and Winsome thinks more about her life with Clovis. When she and Clovis returned, Winsome thought that she would enjoy being back in London, but she soon missed the adventures they had in the Southwest during their early years together. She realised that Clovis was not an exciting person. When Shirley brought Lennox home for the first time, Winsome found herself feeling something she had never felt with Clovis. She was sexually attracted to Lennox. She wanted to run her hands all over his body. Lucky Shirley. She started spending more time with Shirley and Lennox. She would offer to take care of Rachel and Karen more than she needed to, because Lennox would drive her home afterwards. And when he did, he would sometimes put his hand on her knee when he spoke to her, and his goodbye kisses seemed to last for a little too long. Or was she imagining it? No, she was not. When he came to her house one afternoon and kissed her the way Clovis never did, Winsome did not stop him. She let Lennox undress her and take her into her bedroom. They kissed and touched each other until the alarm in the kitchen went off and she had to leave to pick Karen and Rachel up from their nursery school. That night, Winsome could not sleep, but then she decided that she was nearly 50 and she deserved Lennox. They started a relationship that continued in secret for over a year. On weekends, they took Rachel and Karen to the beach to give Shirley a break, and while the children slept, they used the big double bed. Lennox had sexual needs, Winsome decided. It was better that she helped him than he left her daughter for another woman. Then one day, Lennox stopped it. He did not give her an explanation. He just simply stopped. Winsome did not hate him for it, but she wanted him more because of it. Even now, many years later, she still feels attracted to Lennox when she watches him on the beach. Shirley often proudly says that Lennox would never sleep with another woman behind her back. Winsome always replies that she found one of the good guys. "You're lucky, Shirl,"